All right. It is that time of the week where we focus on a local organisation doing important work in the community. And this week, it's Little Brinks, a Cape Town-based NPO that works to break the cycle of hardship and damage experienced by young children in dire circumstances in and around Cape Town. The founder of Little Brinks, Kath Brink, joins us on the line now. Morning to you, Kath. Lovely to have you on the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So give us a little bit of a history, if you will, of Little Brinks. Where did it originate? When and how long ago?
Little Brinks started in 2008 when we were summoned to meet my then foster daughter's biological mum. And we arrived at the organisation to meet social workers. And there was just so many children. I mean, it was the middle of winter. Chelsea was dressed from head to toe in Nazi outfits because she was the first girl. And she was dressed with blankets and jackets and everything else. And there was these kids sitting around in T-shirts and shorts and green stuffy noses. And I said to the social worker, you know, why are they sitting around? Why are there so many kids sitting around here just waiting? So she said, well, no, they're waiting for food parcels or clothing parcels because they're foster children as well. And I was like, well, Chelsea's a foster child, so what is the reason that they're sitting here freezing? So she said, well, we don't have enough clothes to get by, and most of them are with grandparents or family, and they don't have the means or the funds to get them things, so we try and help where we can. And I was mortified. I mean, I had lived in the bubble, and I had no idea that this was going on. And I looked at my husband, and I was like, we have to do something. We can't. This is revolting. You can't have children suffering because of their parents' problems. And, that was what's the beginning of a Christmas party. We just started doing a Christmas party. And we did a Christmas party for 50 kids, and 75 arrived.
Wow.
And the following year, we did a Christmas party for 100 kids, and 150 arrived. And now we do a Christmas party for about 250 kids. And we've got a safe house, and we've got soup kitchens, and we've got sports groups, and we've got a matric dance room. And it just kind of exploded. Every year we kind of do a little bit more and try and do a little bit more. So it's gotten now to the point where we're doing as much as we can with what little we've got.
Yeah, you mentioned that the foster kids that you were seeing there, and that they didn't have the clothes that they needed. Tell us, if you will, a little bit more about the children that you help. Tell us about their backgrounds. Tell us, you know, who are they?
So we try and help any child in need throughout Western Cape. We try and focus mainly on foster care. If a child comes into foster care, or if a child is removed and needs a place of safety, we've got a safe house. They'll come to us, and then we try and help place them in foster care via social workers, obviously. But we try and help find them a long-term foster care home, because we've got such a shortage at the moment of emergency placements as well as foster care placements. We've tried to help where we can, just explaining to people more about foster care and just trying to show them, you know, that it's not all doom and gloom and scary. These kids do deserve it. And the whole idea is just to try and help as many children as we can.
And does foster care include perhaps, you know, children being taken away from mum and dad, but going to extended family?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I suppose in that situation, I mean, fantastic that they are able to go to extended family, because we know kids are better off with family of origin. But as you say, very often those families aren't in a position really to be able to afford to look after their
families. And I mean, a lot of foster care is a cycle. So you'll find that their parents themselves were in foster care. More than 90% of our foster cases that we see, their parents were in foster care themselves, and now their children are being removed and placed into foster care as well. So it's a horrible, horrible cycle. And until people step in and break that cycle, this is what kids are learning all the time, because they think that they're just going to go to foster care, they're going to get kicked out of that foster care, go to another foster care, and they're just going to bounce around. And this is what's happening all the time.
How do we break that cycle, Kath? How does that happen?
teaching these kids from a very young age what a family life is meant to be, teaching them how a normal family functions, making sure that they understand, you know, you've got to get to school, you've got to go to school right from grade 1 to grade 12, you've got to get a good matric, you've got to go study, you've got to try and make something of yourself. I think a lot of these kids feel so guilty for making something of themselves,
right?
Because they feel like they're leaving their family behind.
Yeah.
So we've seen so many kids decide to drop out of school at grade 9 or grade 10 because they don't really need school. They're going to rather work and help their parents like that.
Yeah.
And their parents will take it. They're very happy to take it. Not all of them, obviously, but a lot of them will go and be, you know, very happy just to sit at home. And or they'll have a baby at 16 because they'll get a grant. So it's, you know, just teaching them that you don't have to do that. You are entitled to go and study, and you are allowed to have big dreams. A lot of them don't even have dreams. They don't know what they want to do when they finish school because they've never been told that they can have dreams.
I suppose access to opportunity is probably is probably a large part, and it's very, I guess it's for some, you know, I look at my parents and I think they were both that we were so privileged. I mean, it's almost embarrassingly so in terms of our access to education, in terms of our access to, you know, we were told, do you want to do an after school activity? Cool. Which one do you want to do? You know, I wasn't growing up in a situation where these kids are, and I think it's like you say, it's that perpetual cycle, isn't it? And if mum and dad aren't if mum and dad experienced, you know, abuse or substance abuse issues or whatever, that it becomes a cycle, and as you say, it is about stopping that cycle. If you are just joining us this morning, I'm joined by Kath Brink, who is the co-founder at Little Brinks, who does really crucial work here in Cape Town and the Western Cape, supporting children in dire circumstances. Tell us about essentially how people can help you. What is it that you need, particularly, I would imagine, at this time of year? We're heading towards Christmas. You know, and it's been a hell of a year also, Kath. How has COVID impacted the work that you do?
So we've gone from having about 30 to 50 families that we feed weekly to having at the moment 157 families that we're feeding weekly. That's gone down from 300 it was in one stage. So we desperate for food, any food, long last tinned food, pasta, rice, anything that they can make to stretch. We also obviously desperate for funds. We try and get 350 pledges a month just to hold our head above water. A pledge is 100 rand. So if anybody would love to help us, you're more than welcome to look at Facebook and have a look there. We've also got pleas that come in via Facebook. They private these from foster families.
Right.
And they might need help with rent, or they might need help with food or whatever. Danny and I then take it to the family, and we just try and help them anonymously as well, so that they don't have to put their struggles all over the internet.
Yeah, for sure.
And we just try and keep them as anonymous as possible, so that,
absolutely,
you know, they keep their dignity.
Yeah, for sure. And then your Christmas party, are you going to be having a Christmas party this year, and how will it be different this year?
This year we're not doing a Christmas party like we would, just because it's very difficult to keep all 250 little people away from one another and everything. So what we're doing instead is we're taking each and every gift and we're dropping it off at their home.
Wow.
So, yeah. So we're going to be driving around the entire day dropping off gifts, and we'll take it from there and see how it goes. But this is the way that we've decided to do it this year, just to make sure that everyone stays safe and stays, indoors.
Obviously, that, you know, we can talk about the necessities of food, the necessities of clothing. But why is it so important for you that kids on Christmas morning have a gift?
you know, it's more the case of just so that they know that they are loved.
Yeah.
They know that there is a possibility out there to be anything because somebody out there is backing them.
Mm.
As soon as you've got one adult showing that you care to these kids, they blossom. And you don't have to live with them. You don't have to see them every day. You just have to check up every now and again. So we've got about five foster kids, in inverted commas, because they came to us in safety, that are now over the age of 18.
Right.
We don't speak to them all the time. We don't, you know, we don't check up on them all, like, every day. But once a week or once a month or whatever, they'll touch base with us and they'll tell us exciting news or whatever's happened. And they get so excited to be able just to tell me, I've got a job or I've got a new job. It means something to them. And not one of them have fallen pregnant, not one of them have run off, not one of them have fallen back into drugs. And we've had two of them out of those five have come off prostitution, they've come off drugs by themselves.
Ugh.
And they're fine. They're doing so well because they've got somebody backing them. And that's the entire idea, is just being there from day one and making sure that you make an impact in these kids' lives so that they can go on and make an impact in somebody else's lives later on.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So give us the details. People were messaging in saying, how do we get in touch and wanting to support? And also, in terms of clothing and stuff, do you have drop-off points and toys and things?
Yes.
Where can people drop off their things?
We've got drop-off points all over. You're more than welcome to WhatsApp me, and I'll give you the addresses and the phone numbers. So my phone number is 084-87-11-324, and that's my WhatsApp number as well. And then my email is kath@littlebrinks.co.za.
Okay, that's fantastic. What, in terms of clothing, is there any particular age group or that
nothing
that you need?
We take everything. Because you never know what the granny who's got all seven children needs as well, so we try and help her as well. Also, some teenage boys might be 13 or 14, but they might be in a men's size large.
Yeah, for sure.
So we literally take everything and anything. And what we can't use ourselves, but we know that RTFFA or DSD or child welfare need, will help with them as well, getting food and clothing to their kids.
And then if people are sort of heading out this morning maybe to go and do a little bit of extra Christmas shopping or to even start their Christmas shopping, and, you know, and they find themselves in a toy store and they've got a few extra rand to pick up an extra gift.
That would be amazing. Really, anything, absolutely anything that can go into a box, we would be so very, very grateful.
Okay. Kath, you do amazing work. Thank you so much. It's been a real treat to have you on the show. And all the very best with, hopefully for all of us, 2021 will be a slightly easier year. But hugely important work that you're doing. The Facebook page is, I'm assuming, just Little Brinks?
Yes, Little Brinks. And it's Little Brinks on Facebook and Brinks_Little at Instagram.
Fantastic stuff. Catherine Brink is the co-founder at Little Brinks. If you would like to support, if you are able to support, and, you know, it is that time of year and it seems like we've all had a tough year, so to sort of to ask for stuff, it seems a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. But if you are able to help, you could really make a difference in a child's life this Christmas.